This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Audrey Raj. You're listening to A La Carte Tuesday on Enterprise, where we get insights on the F&B industry and basically discuss all things edible. In the studio today, we have the man behind Common Man Coffee Roasters, Harry Grover. For KLites listening, you may have noticed their new joint in Taman Tun recently. Why another coffee place, and is coffee still the way to go today? We'll let Harry explain.
My name is Harry Grover. I am one of the owners and founders of Common Man Coffee Roasters and 40 Hands Coffee in Singapore. I'm from Perth, Western Australia, and I moved to Singapore permanently in 2010 to open up my coffee business with my partners there.
So, Harry, welcome to the show. Tell us a bit about yourself and how this love affair with coffee began.
Okay, I actually didn't get into coffee until pretty late, actually. I was, I think, about 27 or 28, so that was around 9, 10 years ago. And I was working in a completely different industry. I'd worked in F&B and hospitality, but not really in ownership or management or anything like that. I was living in a house in Perth, which happened to be just about a block away from the Australian Barista Academy. And I'd walk past there on my way home from work, and I was like, this looks like a pretty cool, interesting place. So one day I walked in and I signed up for a whole bunch of classes, and I was just really lucky to have a fantastic trainer who was a really passionate, friendly, approachable guy, and we hit it off. And it was kind of like one of those fortuitous, fateful times, I think, in my life where I was looking to change careers and do something different, leave Perth, which you probably know is a pretty small, quiet kind of place. Perth gets a bit of a bad rap. It's a beautiful place, but it's pretty slow. The life there is pretty slow. So I was looking to get out and do something, you know, do something different. And so, yeah, I basically discovered coffee through my now partner's Five Senses, because they were running the academy in Perth. And yeah, it just kind of like, I think like a lot of coffee guys, once you kind of, we say like you kind of, how did you get bitten by the coffee bug, right? Mm. How did you, you know, because once you sort of scratch the surface, you realize how much there is to learn. And it is just this, you know, you go down the rabbit hole. There's just, it's an incredible industry with, you know, you never stop learning, basically. There's the art and the science and all the passion to it. And I think coming from a business background and also recently having spent quite a bit of time in Singapore because my brother was living there at the time, I put two and two together and thought, why don't they have this same kind of coffee scene in Southeast Asia, or particularly in Singapore, like they do in Australia? Where is the independent coffee movement? Where are all the specialty stores? Because I was visiting him for several years before I moved there, and all I could really find was, you know, the fairly generic kind of chain stores, nothing really with a lot of passion or independence to it. So I got really lucky, actually. It all kind of came together. I had an interest in coffee. I was traveling to Singapore. I met the right people in Singapore who were also running F&B businesses, and they took a chance on me. And we came up with 40 Hands and opened that in 2010. So that's how it all started, really, for me, yeah, in coffee.
Okay, so you were saying earlier that you realized that, you know, Southeast Asia didn't have the kind of coffee scene that Australia had. Mm. What are we talking about here? How is it different?
I mean, well, particularly in Singapore, there is a very strong coffee culture already, like a local, you know, coffee culture, which I still love and I still consume, you know, the coffee teams, which you also have here. But there wasn't really a specialty scene, like specialty grade coffee. And I felt that there could possibly be a place in the market for that, or room in the market for that, because, you know, changing drinking habits for, you know, young people and consumers looking for different things. Particularly a lot of Singaporeans, also Malaysians, traveling to Australia and studying there and experiencing these kind of cafes, and then going home and going, why don't we have the same kind of thing? So it was actually starting to happen, and I wasn't the first mover at all. I was, I guess, one of the first movers, but I just luckily hit it at the right time with 40 Hands when people were starting to kind of, that light bulb moment was going off that, you know, this kind of business would work. So, yeah, pretty much it all kicked off from around 2009, 2010 in Singapore, yeah.
So from 40 Hands, you moved on to Common Man Coffee Roasters. Why was there a need to have two of them?
Well, I guess 40 Hands is kind of my first baby, and, you know, that's where I like to say, you know, we made our bones, or, you know, we made our mistakes as well. And it was kind of like a pretty lo-fi, low-risk kind of hole-in-the-wall cafe. And we definitely tweaked it a lot. And we kind of built the brand over 3 years. And it became a little bit of an institution. It was also in the right location. So it was in an area where it seemed like quite a sort of incongruous area to put a cafe, a Western cafe. But it was that kind of worked in our favor because it was kind of like a bit of a discovery. It was a bit of a sort of a jewel in the rough. And that area changed a lot and was gentrified to a certain extent with a lot of kind of new, you know, younger, hipper brands kind of moving in around it. But to me, it was still a pretty basic, straightforward, simple, honest indie cafe, you know, like you would find hundreds of in Australia. So I thought I really want to do something that can compete on a more of an international scale. And I also kind of wanted to go deeper into the industry, get involved in more in the specialty coffee side of education, advocacy and roasting and wholesaling, and to kind of create a platform where we could showcase our coffee in a beautiful space that could be considered, you know, like a great cafe globally, you know, wherever you went. So it was kind of an ambition to do something bigger and grander and better and, yeah, more complex in its offering. So that's why we came up with Common Man in 2013. We also were lucky enough to partner with Five Senses, who were my original trainers back in 2009. To come in as our wholesale partners and run the wholesale arm of the business with us and train us how to roast coffee and, yeah, be barista trainers as well.
Okay, we'll come back to your partnerships in just a bit, but let's talk about Common Man right now. How did the name Common Man come about?
Well, we threw around like hundreds of names actually for a few months, and we wanted to come up with something that, because a lot of people will ask me this and they say, why do you call it Common Man or Common when it's like, you know,
it's supposed to be specialty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they say it's really quite uncommon. You know, it's this, you know, there's a lot of uncommon elements to it. I guess that's kind of a bit of the sort of irony or the, not really the joke with it, but a lot of it came from the fact that the specialty coffee movement to me was moving in a direction that I think a lot of people were finding it to be not so approachable. As in, you've got a really high-end specialty product, right, which is there's, you know, a lot of information to learn. There's a lot of training connected to specialty coffee. And we felt that some of the people that were getting involved in it were treating it a little bit too elitist. It was becoming a little bit too cool for school, a bit too sort of hipster. And I thought, well, specialty coffee is beautiful because it's a beautiful product, but it's this kind of whole scene around it that is making it, you know, some people are using it, it's coming across quite intimidating, a little bit elitist, and it shouldn't be like that. You know, like most people can afford a cup of specialty coffee. It is more expensive than normal coffee, but that's because of the virtue of the grade, you know, the premium product that you're buying. Yeah. But it should be approachable. It should be something that anyone who is any kind of layman and doesn't know anything about coffee can walk into the place and be greeted in a very pleasant way and have a great experience. And it should be common. It should be every day. It shouldn't be, yeah, all the associations with specialty don't necessarily need to take place. So I always felt that why can't we showcase an amazing product and do it in an approachable, friendly, positive, respectful way for everybody, no matter who you are, if you're an aficionado or if you're, this is your first cup of coffee. So I thought coffee for the common man. That's why we came up with the name.
Okay. Yeah. What kind of specialty coffee does CMCR serve? Is there like a special that, you know, everyone must have or must try?
Well, we are very fortunate enough to have some of the, I would say, some of the best single origin coffees available to us through our partners. So they actually purchase their coffee at origin. They've got their own green bean buyers and they cut out a lot of middlemen. So they have professional buyers who go in country and source their coffees. And most of those coffees then come into Australia and then we, I guess, cherry pick what we want and we bring them into Singapore. So we're getting beautiful specialty grade coffee. And I mean, the word specialty is actually, it's a quantifiable term. It's not like saying it's just quality or premium. It's actually quantifiable. So it's scored. So specialty coffee needs to achieve at least 80 points out of 100 on a specialty grading. And so obviously all our coffees are specialty grade. They're all sourced by our partners and they've got 20 years in the business. They really know their stuff. And yeah, so we have the privilege of using their coffee and using their roasting recipes and working with them to create blends as well. So we use our single origins to create different blends that we have that have different flavor profiles, which then work well with milk or without, as black or iced. Yeah. So it's kind of like limitless. It's kind of endless, you know, the combinations you can create with your blends and your flavor profiles and your roasting profiles. So that's, I think, what makes people in the industry quite, you know, nerdy and passionate about it. It's, it's pretty amazing. So it's very subjective, coffee, and we just say, like, come and try different coffees and talk to the baristas and just explain what you personally prefer, whether you like, you know, more kind of robust and bold or darker, you know, dark chocolate flavors, or if you like kind of lighter, fruitier notes with your coffee. We can really match, we can really create something for you that's, yeah, that's going to suit your flavor, what you like.
All right, when we come back, Harry Grover from Common Man Coffee Roasters uncomplicates the challenges of running a business for caffeine lovers. Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters, BFM 89.9.
A la carte Tuesdays, this is Audrey Raj. Today we're talking about the new Common Man Coffee Roasters, a hip cafe in Singapore, which recently landed in our neighbourhood in Taman Tun. Joining us today is Harry Grover, one of the founders, director and idea man, if I may call you that, at Common Man Coffee Roasters. So Harry, I love my coffee, but I'm not really fussed about the kind of coffee that I drink. But I know many people out there are really serious about their coffee. Maybe you can explain to me and to all those out there who are really not so into their coffee about this whole third wave coffee concept.
Okay, I guess the term third wave came from, you know, first of all, they said first wave is kind of your truck stop coffee, you know, your instant coffee. And I think the whole third wave concept came out of America. So it's like the first wave is your truck stop, your simple instant pot coffee. Second wave is the idea of actually creating venues, you know, specifically for drinking coffee. So your chain stores, I mean, you know, the home away from home kind of idea. And then the third wave is that same kind of thing, but using specialty grade, using best quality machinery, well-trained baristas, people who can actually describe the coffees, calibrate the coffees properly, create that kind of consistency of flavor. And that's often associated with specialty grade and with independent cafes. So yeah, that's really been it's grown like 20% year on year for I don't know how long. I don't know all the statistics now, but it is the really booming part of the market. And it's really, yeah, exciting to see how that market is really now booming in Southeast Asia as well.
So have there been challenges in trying to introduce third wave coffee into, you know, the Southeast Asia market? You said it's growing, but it's still kind of like, an acquired taste, right?
Yeah, I think there is definitely a lot of challenge. A lot of it is, you know, without sounding too patronizing, it's kind of like you're having to educate the market as you go along, because a lot of the time it's many people's first time drinking specialty grade. And if the barista gets that wrong or they don't really describe what they're, you know, giving to the customer, it can often come off as a bad experience. I remember the very early days with 40 Hands. I think every second coffee I made, people were like, it's sour. It tastes weird. But, you know, you typically have flavor profiles that are like brighter, so maybe higher acidity, because you tend to be going of a lighter roast when you're using specialty coffee, because you're trying to accentuate the natural flavors in the bean. You're not trying to get roast flavors out of like a, you know, a dark roast, which, by the way, often when people roast so dark, they're actually trying to hide defects in their coffee. Mm. So a lighter roast is supposed to capture what they call, I guess, bean presence, or, you know, the actual flavor of that coffee, that particular coffee. So having said that, you know, there is also a move in specialty to not be too sometimes too adventurous or too avant-garde with their coffees, and to kind of take a step back and remember, you know, the customer's always right. You know, you need to actually appeal to the masses as well. It needs to make pragmatic business sense. So therefore, a lot of cafes, they'll have multiple offerings for the coffee they serve. Like, they'll have the more adventurous stuff, and then they'll have the more crowd-pleasing blends, you know, that work well, whether you have them black or with milk or what, you know, which are more, probably more well-rounded, more chocolatey, darker kind of flavor, darker, you know, roast flavors. I think it's about finding that balance, really, and listening to your customers, but also not being afraid to experiment a little bit as well, you know, being brave with what you're doing.
Have you noticed any trends when it comes to, like, the flavors that, say, Singaporean or Malaysian coffee lovers prefer? compared to those in Perth?
Yeah, well, you definitely do get people who still want a lot more kind of darker, more bold, robust flavours in their coffee, because that's coming out of the tradition of the Kopitiam. So we need to keep that in mind as well. And I think we do. And we kind of gear a lot of our roasts and our blends to that part of the market. So, for example, we have a blend called 22 Martin, which is actually the street address of our cafe in Singapore. Mm. And that's our best seller because it's the most, I think, approachable coffee. It's not too high in brightness or acidity. It's still got these nice dark chocolate, nutty tones to it, and it's a great all-rounder. So it works well however you prepare it. And then we have a bunch of other blends. And I think people find that once they experiment more and they calibrate the coffee right, they're, you know, a lot of our wholesale clients are like, oh, I just want 22 Martin. I want to keep it safe and keep it simple. And they try another blend and they work on it with their barista and they get it right. And they're like, oh, wow, you know, we want this again and again. So I think it just, you know, serving specialty coffee is a big investment in training and equipment and consistency. So if you get it right, you know, day after day, then you're really onto a winner as far as, you know, your business goes. But you can't do it half-hearted. You really need to invest your time and your people in the product, yeah.
Let's talk about the challenges in managing a cafe in a growing or perhaps overpopulated business, because the coffee business is a busy business.
Yeah, it is. You know, like people say, oh, you know, what's so special about opening another cafe? But I still believe, you know, in this market in KL and Singapore, wherever, there is room for 20, 50, 100 more cafes that are of a standard, hopefully like Common Man, that kind of standard, which really tick all the boxes, you know, because this is a global trend that people want. It's not just about the coffee. People want casual dining. They want good, friendly service, but casual. They want a good ambience, a clean shop, you know, hopefully some nice music, decent price points. You know, these are factors in a business that are not going anywhere, I think, anytime soon. And the hook for these businesses tends to be good coffee. You know, that's what gets people in through the door. And then how you retain your customers is with all the other factors. So I think there's plenty of room in the market for more growth of the more specialized cafes. And, you know, if there's a glut in cafes, it tends to be the ones which are, you know, the big kind of generic chain stores which are serving a mediocre product and they don't really have any presence or personality. You know, you don't go there and know your baristas as well, or it doesn't have that face and that human element to it. So I think good coffee with the brunch scene or the casual dining scene is a global phenomenon and it's not going anywhere anytime soon. So, yeah, I think we're confident and we hope that the scene grows more and that we can hopefully sell more coffee to, to new cafes opening up.
All right, talking about sales, it's time to talk about money. How did you get the funding to open 40 Hands and CMCR?
So originally, like, 40 Hands is a small little shop and it was all self-funded. So it's myself and my Singapore partner. I basically moved to Singapore, sold my car, mortgaged my house and put up the money that way. And it was a great arrangement from the start because myself and my partners put in dollar for dollar investment and therefore – and obviously we didn't have any, therefore, like angel investors or anything like that. So we didn't have any silent partners as such. So everyone who was invested in the business had a role to play operationally or strategically, which meant that everyone was more incentivized to really make it work. Mm. So that – I think, you know, and the good mix of personalities with our partners kind of got us going, you know, got a foot in the door. And we basically grew organically from that. We obviously put in some more funds to same partners to open, to start Common Man. And then we got funding, obviously, from our wholesale partners in Australia to open the roastery side of the business. And KL was essentially organically funded from Singapore. Yeah, so it's slow, but it's organic and it's a good way for me to do it. I'm fairly risk adverse, fairly cautious. And I think, you know, because I'm an operator as well, so I don't believe in this whole like, yeah, we'll give you private equity and you can open 100 stores. I don't believe in that model because I know what it's like to run a cafe on the ground. And I think that we are still ambitious to grow, but we want to do it slowly and cautiously and get it right. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about your employees. I mean, are there certain requirements to being a barista at Common Man?
I mean, definitely. I mean, I think particularly with the barista scene, there is so much interest and passion for coffee now. And there are so many, we get a lot of applicants, you know, because it's one of those skill sets that people want to have. And, you know, so we get a lot of passionate young guys who apply. We tend to look for, I mean, like, for me, when I'm hiring, I look more, I guess, at personality and attitude than technical skills, because anyone can be trained to be a barista, but whether you can fit into our culture and be a positive, you know, valuating person for our team, I think is kind of more important. Because I think, yeah, I mean, like running a team of staff for any business, it's really about establishing that strong working culture, you know, that positive and respectful and working culture than the actual technical skills, which are still important. But I would say, yeah, the type of employee is more important.
So I understand that you have partnerships with Spa Esprit, Five Senses or Tiga Raja and also Cineso. Maybe you can tell us a bit about these Common Men partnerships.
So Spa Esprit is a lifestyle company in Singapore, and they're my original partners with 40 Hands and Common Men. Yep, so they have quite a few beauty and F&B businesses in Singapore, and I've partnered with them for 40 Hands and for Common Men. Yeah, I guess it's a very strong partnership. We have complementary skills. And for the coffee businesses, so for 40 Hands, Common Man International, which is the wholesale business, and Common Man Retail, I guess I'm more the executive director now and have, I guess, the autonomy to kind of run it and make more of the strategic decisions, because they have so many businesses and so many fingers in different pies. They need, I guess, it's good. It's good for me. I'm entrusted to run that side of the business and make those decisions. And Five Senses is our wholesale partner for the coffee. And we, like I said, we are really privileged to work with such a experienced roastery. And we also really value, I think, the input we get from them, from how they've created culture within their organization as well. So how they treat their employees and how they've grown their business is also very inspiring for us. So I think it's a good cultural and philosophical fit for the business. And Tiga Raja is more a project that Five Senses has worked on that we have some involvement in. So that's coffee farms in Sumatra.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about Cineso? You work with them on your equipment, right?
We do in Singapore. We have some distribution with them in Singapore. So we promote and sell and service their machines. But that's just in Singapore and not in KL.
So you mentioned earlier Common Man International, that your wholesale aspect of the business. Maybe you can tell us a bit about this.
Well, I guess it's one of the most fundamental reasons why Common Man was born. You know, we did the cafe because we wanted to showcase the quality of this coffee we were now, you know, getting from our partners and roasting in Singapore. So the cafe essentially serves as a big billboard for the coffee. Mm. But that's, I guess, the really exciting and long-term future of our business is the wholesaling side and the amount that we're investing in our team to push barista training and customer support. There are quite a few wholesale roasters in Singapore and Malaysia, but we, I guess, are trying to set ourselves apart with the whole turnkey service we offer, how we support our clients. And I think coming from not just a wholesaling but a retail background, we can really empathize with our clients' needs, cafe owners, because we also are cafe owners, so we know what they want, and we can hopefully support them a little bit, you know, more than the average roaster. Yeah.
Okay, we're taking a quick breather now for some messages and a quick Bursa update. Harry Grover, founder of Common Man Coffee Roasters, will be right back. This is A La Carte Tuesdays on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Brewing Financial Minds, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to A La Carte Tuesday. My name is Audrey Raj. We are still grounded with Common Man Coffee Roasters founding partner, Harry Grover. All right, Harry, I heard that Common Man launched an academy back in 2015. Tell us a bit about this and the inspiration behind it.
Yeah, so the Coffee Academy, which is, I guess, was based on the original Barista Academy that I trained at in 2009. It's right next to our cafe in Singapore, as it is in our cafe in Tamantun. So it's sort of shop within a shop or a school within a shop. And it's a really important part of, I think, the relationship we have with our clients in order to help support them to make better coffee. So we obviously provide free training to our wholesale clients. And that tends to be the key thing that people are looking for. You know, they have many choices as to where they can buy their coffee, but they come to us and they say, like, we don't have ready-made baristas. And I say, well, nobody does. You know, you need to find the right passionate people and equip them with the skills so we can help you do that. So we've got an excellent trainer here in KL, as we do in Singapore. So, yeah, running classes is a really important part of our, I guess, wholesale strategy in our business. We are also launching public classes, I think, within the next couple of weeks. Yeah, so that's available just to the everyday person. They can sign up and do a fundamentals basic class on espresso making. They can do latte art classes. They can even learning how to make brewed coffee and, yeah, the more advanced classes as well. So that's starting in KL soon as well.
Speaking about value-added services, why did Common Man see a need to start a delivery service and a dinner menu from the all-day brunch style?
I think it's something that we wanted to trial in Malaysia in the KL store. You know, we have this beautiful space in Tamantun and, you know, we sort of thought, well, by 6 o'clock it's lights out. It's a bit of a shame, you know, and we've got a huge kitchen there. You know, I think we've really put in quite a bit of investment to make a beautiful space there. We're really happy with it. And we just want to trial something different. So we've come up with a different menu for dinner. We're just rolling out a whole bunch of new desserts and cakes as well. So just to keep the place open and, you know, we have a lot of people who just want to come and chill out somewhere and, you know, have cake or have mains and coffee after hours. So we thought, why not? Give it a try. Yeah.
Okay, so what can Asia expect next from Common Man? More outlets, a new spin on your offerings? What do you have in store for us?
It's all a little bit up in the air right now. I mean, KL is still pretty new, the outlet, and I think we're still trying to find our feet there. And obviously, you know, when you grow a brand in the region or internationally, you can't just kind of cut and paste it. You need to be a lot more sensitive to more local needs and wants from your clientele. So we're adapting the model a little bit and listening to our customers. And really this year for the retail side, we're focused on the KL branch. For the wholesale side, yeah, it's a really exciting time to see more regional growth, both in Malaysia and, you know, Indonesia and Thailand and all these countries. You know, the specialty scene is really booming. So we hope to be part of that. But I don't think we're going to be rushing to open another 4,000 or 5,000 square feet store immediately. You know, like I said, I think it's kind of slow and steady and really spend the time to get it right before you jump in and commit to, you know, more expansion. So
I'm not sure if I read this somewhere, but I understand that you believe that your journey has been a mere manifestation of good luck and fate. So where do you think this wave of luck will take you next?
I think, you know, like to be successful in business, you do have, you know, people often discount there is a huge element of luck. And if you identify that and then you kind of ride your luck with a lot of damn hard work, then, you know, hopefully you'll get sort of more success from that. I think I'm still in the midst of that, you know, like I've been really lucky to come into Singapore and KL at this time during the kind of, I think, evolution of specialty coffee. I've had some great partners and supportive people to work with. It hasn't been a completely smooth ride. There's been, you know, things that haven't worked out and certain business ventures that, you know, have failed. But again, I think that's a really important learning curve as well.
Yeah.
So hopefully the luck doesn't run out just yet. Yeah. What's next? I think you start to kind of make your own luck by, you know, by building your business and your culture and the people you're working with. So now I think for me personally, it's entering a time where I'm consolidating the operation with some really great people around me, a lot of talent and passionate people. So I'm fortunate enough to have found some great staff in managers and, you know, supervisors, baristas, chefs. So they're helping to kind of, like, you know, keep the Common Man dream alive, basically.
And just before we go, Harry, what do you foresee in the trend and the theme of the coffee industry in the near future?
People often ask me, like, you know, what's next? What's next? What's the trend? I honestly think that if people can do, you know, there's beauty in consistency, you know, like, and I think there was an article that came out recently where they talked to some famous baristas and one guy said, you know, don't discount the boring stuff. Like, if you can make fantastic coffee day in, day out, if you can keep your staff happy, if you can keep smiles on their faces, if you can keep your shop windows clean, you know, and this food hot, you're onto a winner, you know. A lot of people, they're looking for novelty, but they forget the basics. And I think that's an integral part of particularly, you know, the coffee cafe business. You need to have some stuff, I think, which is quintessentially yours, like some novelty or some uniqueness to your business that gets the people talking. But, you know, if you can really nail the basics and the fundamentals, then you can create a pretty bulletproof business. I think the danger is more, you know, you getting bored. You have to keep yourself stimulated and interesting, right? So I think now it's getting to a point where I'm doing some projects that keep myself interested in different things too. Yeah. But yeah, really keeping the basics strong is important. And I think that, I mean, 40 Hands has changed very little in 6-7 years. We've done 2 menu changes in that time, and we still, you know, we've grown every year like 10-20%. So
if it ain't broke.
That's right. If it ain't broke. So
all right, Harry, I wish you and Common Man all the best and hope to be hearing some bigger and better news in the future.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for your time.
I've been speaking with Harry Grover of Common Man Coffee Roasters, and you heard it from the horse's mouth itself. He believes that great coffee should not be a privilege, but instead available for all to enjoy. To find out more about Common Man Coffee Roasters, their coffee, their services, go look up their Facebook page, Common Man Coffee Roasters KL, or their website, commonmancoffeeroasters.com. This is Audrey Raj. You've been listening to A La Carte Tuesday on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.